when we were apart from Christ, and that we had a spirit of the world that was within us, and it was a spirit that didn't love God, it didn't seek to do the things of God, just seeked only to serve ourselves. And yet God come into our hearts and lives and changed our hearts, gave us a new heart. And in Ezekiel we saw where it says He put His Spirit within us. And because of the work of the Spirit in our life, the text that we'll look at is Galatians 5. And Paul tells us in Galatians 5, chapter 22, that there's the fruit of the Spirit. And as a Christian, we have this fruit within us that should be in each one of our lives. If you'll turn to Galatians 5, and we'll read verse 22 and 23. And up above that, Paul talks about the flesh and all the desires of the flesh. But he comes in verse 22 and he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such things there is no law." And this morning we want to look at, in the New American Standard it has kindness, but in King James it's gentleness, and that's the one we want to look at. But he talks about the fruit of the Spirit like it's a singular thing, and that's what my drawing's about this morning. Like our tree is, let's just say, the Holy Spirit, and there's the fruit, and that fruit is love and joy and peace and patience. I have my E wrong, huh? No. And gentleness and goodness and all these things that we see, but it's in like one fruit. We can't say, well, you know, I've got the fruit of love and the fruit of goodness, but I don't have the fruit of patience and those things. If God's Spirit is within us, we have all these, and some may be more pronounced than the others. And when we see that in our lives, we need to ask God to grow that Spirit, whether the one that we're lacking in, and ask Him to water it and to grow it, and that we might show forth this fruit in our lives. And just kind of a quick review, I wanted to go back and show how in each one of these traits, these character traits that we see, it's an example of who God is. And I wanted to go back just quickly and show a couple verses that will show us that God is also like this. In our first lesson, we studied about the fruit of love. And if you will, I want to turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. John tells us this about God. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another." And so here we see where John is telling us that God is love, and that's why this fruit of the Spirit will cause us to have love. The fruit of the Spirit is causing us to be like who? It's to be like Christ, to be like God, although we will fall far short of what we're called to apart from this side of heaven. But yet, this is in our hearts because of the work of the Spirit. And then in our second lesson, we studied the fruit of joy. And we saw how a Christian should have joy. And if you will, I want to look at how God has joy. And if you'll turn over in the Old Testament to Zephaniah, which is a real small book in there by Zechariah and Zephaniah. If you find Micah, then Nahum and Zephaniah. It's close to the New Testament. Zephaniah chapter 3, beginning with verse 12. The prophet says this, God speaking through him, in Zephaniah 3, beginning with verse 12, "But I will leave among you a humble and lowly people, and they will take refuge in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel will do no wrong and tell no lies, nor will a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths. For they shall feed and lie down with no one to make them tremble. Shout for joy, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away His judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You will fear disaster no more. In that day it will be said to Jerusalem, 'Do not be afraid, O Zion. Do not let your hands fall limp. The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in His love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy.'" And so here we're told that God has great joy over His people, over you and me if we're a Christian, where He shouts for joy over us. And because God has joy in showing mercy to His children, so we should have joy because of this mercy that He has shown to us, that He has taken away the judgments from us because of the work of Christ. And so we should have joy. And then in our third lesson, we studied the fruit of peace. And in Romans 16:20, you don't have to turn there, I'm going to quickly just read it. It says, Paul describes God as the God of peace. And then in Isaiah 9:6, there's a prophecy of Christ. It says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on His shoulders, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." So we see that the Holy Spirit bears forth this fruit also in our lives, this fruit of peace, because we know that through Jesus Christ we have peace with God, and that we have this inward peace because we know who God is and that He is working all things for our good, that He's watching over us as a great shepherd. Then in our fourth lesson, we studied about the fruit of long-suffering or patience. The King James has long-suffering. The New American Standard has patience. And in Exodus 34, it tells us about how God is long-suffering, if you'll turn over there. In Exodus 34, where Moses is going back up to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments again. This is after that he's thrown them and scattered the people with them. He's going back up to receive the Ten Commandments. Exodus 34, beginning with verse 5. "And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him, as he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, or long-suffering, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. And Moses made haste to bow down low toward the earth and worship. So we see that this description of God, of himself, that he is long-suffering, or if you will, that he is patient. And David said in Psalm 86:15, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth." And we saw last Sunday when we studied this fruit of patience that that the Holy Spirit brings forth this in our life. I've had a time to practice it already this morning, several times. And like I said last time, with five children, there's plenty of opportunity for patience. And, you know, I had to go and apologize to Matthew, trying to put on his shoes, you know, tell him, get dressed and that. And so he, you know, go in there and look, and it's time for us to go, and he's still not dressed. So had to go in there and kind of get in a hurry. But, you know, I did it, and I wasn't being patient with him. And so I had to go back and apologize to him. And then when we're here at church, Leanne's out there, and she's not wanting to go with me, you know. And that hardness of the heart there. But so I have to show great patience. And I told y'all last Sunday that I wasn't the one that needed to be up teaching the class on that, because I need much patience and must go to God and ask to grow that spirit in me. But today I want to look at the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness or kindness, depending on what translation you have. The King James has gentleness. The New American Standard has kindness. And I looked up this word in the Strong's Concordance, and back in the back where it tells you what the Greek word is and all those things, that it has it that it can be interpreted as either one, gentleness or kindness. So we'll look at both of them. We'll look at some scriptures that tell us about that. But first of all, I want to look at some scriptures that tell us how God is gentle or kind. And if you'll turn to Psalm 18 first. Psalm 18, and we'll begin reading with verse 30. At the front of the chapter, at verse 18, I have this written in my Bible, that it is a psalm of David. It says, "The servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul." And it begins in verse 30. He says, "As for God, his way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who girds me with strength and makes my way blameless. He makes my feet like hinds' feet, and he sets me upon my high places. He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand upholds me, and thy gentleness makes me great. Thou dost enlarge my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped." So here we see that Paul refers to God's gentleness, that it's his gentleness that makes him great. And you don't have to turn there, but I want to read Psalm 117, verse 1 and 2. That's the whole psalm of chapter of 117. It says, "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." So here again, the psalmist talks about God's kindness. And if you will, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we'll begin with verse 1. And we'll read through verse 10. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So here Paul is reminding us that we have benefited from God's kindness, that He has given His own Son to die for our sins. And so we see in these verses that God is kind and He is gentle. And, you know, we have the example of Christ also that we're to look at. And in Isaiah, there has a wonderful prophecy about Christ. And it says, "A bruised reed shall He not break, and a smoking flax shall He not quench." Now, how gentle this must be. And also, we're told about Christ that He is the Lamb of God. They picture Him as a lamb, and we all know how gentle a lamb is. And so we have these examples of God's gentleness and kindness, and we can look to Christ and see how gentle and kind He was and is. And it says also in the New Testament to take His yoke upon me because I'm meek and lowly of heart. Again, an example of how gentle Christ is. And so it's an example of how we should be as the Holy Spirit works in our hearts. Now I want to look at some scriptures now that tell us that we should have this godly trait. And if you'll turn first to Titus chapter 3. Right before Hebrews, Titus 3, we'll read, begin with verse 1. Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be uncontentious, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy statement. Concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God may be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. So we see here that Paul is calling us to be gentle. We see these different traits or characteristics that he shows that should be in a Christian's life. And he reminds us that at one time that we weren't like this. Now you may say, well, I was gentle before the Lord saved me. Well, you know, there may be some who can say that. But if any, we showed gentleness to anyone, it was probably from a selfish nature. But now we seek to be gentle because we want to please God and to honor Him in our lives. And then if you'll turn over to James chapter 3. Begin with verse 13 of James 3. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from heaven, from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So here again we are told how we are to be gentle. We're to show forth this fruit of gentleness. And then over in Colossians, if you'll turn over there, now, I want to try to read as many scriptures as I can about this. I want as little of me in here as I can give. So that's why we want to look at a lot of scriptures. So Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. So here again, we are told by Paul that we should be gentle. And he has some other traits here that as Christians that we should show forth in our life. And humility, compassion, kindness, patience. Some of these things that we've looked at already. And we need to have these in our life. And then one more scripture reference. It's in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 17. This is talking about the Christian's walk. Ephesians 4, 17. This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you, being renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So here again, we see where Paul is calling us to show forth this fruit of the Spirit, kindness, gentleness, to be tender-hearted. And if you're like me, well, we need God to give us much grace here that we might show forth a gentle spirit. Martin Luther said about this fruit of the Spirit, he said, "For such as will be true followers of the gospel must not be sharp and bitter, but gentle, mild, courteous, and fair-spoken, which should encourage others to delight in their company, which will be well content to yield and give place to others, content also to bear with those who are froward and intractable." So I ask you, do you have a gentle and kind spirit? And men, I know that the world in which we live in says that for you to be a real man, that you have to be like Rambo, or that you have to be like the characters that Bruce Willis and Arnold Schwarzenegger play. But those guys are all fakes. They're not real. They're not real men. For us to be a real man, we must look to Christ and look to the example that He has set for us. And ladies, because of the women's lib movement, the world would have you not to be gentle, but it would have you to be harsh and independent. But we must not look to the world for how we should behave. We must always look to Christ as our example. And we also must be grounded in truth so that we know how God would have us to live. Our problem is that our old nature, it's still hanging around. And why God did it that way, I do not know. But I know that He is wise and good and just in all that He's done. And, you know, He could have just as easily taken that old nature away from us and we would be like Christ. We would be living just like Him. But yet that old nature is still hanging around. And Paul tells us in Galatians where it wars against the Spirit. That it doesn't want you to do these things that we're looking at. It doesn't want you to have love, this agape love, where you love someone without any strings attached. It wants you to love in a selfish way, where you love someone if they love you back, or you love someone if they give you maybe some gifts or something. And the flesh doesn't want us to have this joy unspeakable. He wants us to not to be content with the world, not to have a peace with the world or in the things that we go through. He wants us to shake our fist at God and be angry with Him. And so all these fruits of the Spirit, the flesh doesn't want us to enjoy those things. And He's going to do whatever He can to stop us in this spiritual battle that is going on in our lives. He doesn't want us to be patient with one another. But yet Paul tells us in Galatians to walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. We must set our minds upon the things above. We're not to allow the things of the world to take us away from Christ, because each of you know how the world draws upon us, and there's different temptations that the evil one will put before us to try to draw us away from Christ. But we must keep our minds and our eyes on Christ. We must seek to have a gentle and kind spirit like Christ has. And if we see that we're lacking in this spirit or in any of these other spirit, these other fruits, then that we are to go to God in prayer and ask Him to grow that fruit of the Spirit in us. Like I said, it's already there. We have each one of these traits in our life because of the work of the Spirit. They're there already. It's not like you can say, well, I've got love and I got peace, but I don't have this, I don't have that. You've got it, but you may not have it in the measure that you would like to have it in. And that's what each one of us shouldn't be satisfied with the measure that we have. We should go to God, pleading with Him to grow us in this fruit of the Spirit so that we can be more like Christ. In Charles Spurgeon's book, Morning and Evening, he wrote about this spiritual warfare that's going on in each of our lives. He said, in every believer's heart, there is a constant struggle between the old nature and the new. The old nature is very active and loses no opportunity of applying all the weapons of its deadly armory against newborn grace. While on the other hand, the new nature is ever on the watch to resist and destroy its enemy. Grace within us will employ prayer and faith and hope and love to cast out the evil. It takes unto it the whole armor of God and wrestles earnestly. These two opposing natures will never cease to struggle so long as we are in this world. The battle of Christian with Apollyon lasted 3 hours, but the battle of Christian with himself lasted all the way from the wicket gate to the river Jordan. The enemy is so securely entrenched within us that he can never be driven out while we are in this body. But although we are closely beset and often in sore conflict, we have an almighty helper, even Jesus, the captain of our salvation, who is ever with us, and who assures us that we shall eventually come off more than conquerors through Him. With such assistance, the newborn nature is more than a match for its foes. Are you fighting with the adversary today? Are Satan, the world, and the flesh all against you? Be not discouraged nor dismayed. Fight on, for God Himself is with you. Jehovah Nissi is your banner, and Jehovah Rapha is the healer of your wounds. Fear not, you shall overcome, for who can defeat omnipotence? Fight on, looking unto Jesus, and though long and stern be the conflict, sweet will be the victory, and glorious the promised reward. We must not allow the flesh to prevent us from being gentle, to prevent us from being like Christ. I encourage each one of us to seek to be like Christ in all our ways, that we're to look at these traits of the fruit of the Spirit and ask God to grow each one of them in our life, that we might be, that we might have love, that we might have joy, that we might have peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, that the world around us might see forth these fruits of the Spirit in our life as we live, and in so doing, might come and ask us, what has made this difference in your life? And it will give you a wonderful example, a wonderful opportunity to speak about Jesus Christ and how it's only through the work of the Spirit in your life that you can show forth these godly traits. Well, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for Your grace and mercy to us today. We thank You that it's pleased You to bring us together once again. And Father, we pray that You would grow the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We know that You're sovereign and rule over all things. And yet, Father, we know that You've given us this responsibility to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And so, Father, as we have looked at and looking at these fruits of the Spirit that we see, we're short in each one, we ask that You would grow these fruits in our life, that You would help us, Father, to be more and more like Jesus Christ. Father, we pray this morning for Brother R.F. Gates. We ask that You might anoint his lips, that You would guide him by Your Spirit, that You would allow Your Word to go forth in power. Father, for our children and those that are lost in the congregation today that hear this message, we pray that You would open their hearts so that they might be able to truly hear about Jesus Christ. Father, we know that they can hear and yet not truly hear in their hearts. So we plead for mercy for them. We ask that, Lord, that You might meet with us in power today. We do pray, Father, that You would take the distractions of the world away from us, that our flesh would not cause us to be thinking of evil things or thinking of things that would distract us from Your Word. Father, we ask that You would bless Brother R.F. today and also to bring him back with Your message for us tonight. We do pray, Father, for those that are traveling, for Brother Fred and his family, and also for the Hunts and for any other of our loved ones that are traveling, we pray You protect them. We do pray for Richard Johnstone, that You'll protect him through this surgery that he's to have. Pray that You would bring him through that well. We pray that You'd guide the doctor's hands. Father, we thankful for this answered prayer that Brenda's mentioned to us this morning. Father, we know that we're undeserving of any mercy, and yet You have poured forth Your mercy upon us, and we can look in each of our lives and see how over and over You've answered prayer. And Father, how we should rejoice each day to know that You're so great and almighty and that You're able to bring forth these things, Father, that are lifted up to You. We know that nothing is beyond Your power. Father, we thank You for that. And yet in knowing how great and powerful You are, we're thankful to know that You're gentle and kind, And that, Father, that you've given us such a wonderful example in Jesus Christ. Father, how we fall short of this example. And Father, we ask for mercy upon us. Lord, that you would not allow our pride to keep us from being gentle. And Father, that you would help us to grow in this fruit of the Spirit. And Father, we ask that we might please you and honor you in all our life. We pray that we might be true followers of Christ. And Father, if there's any here this morning that's without Christ, we ask for mercy that you'd save their soul. And Father, I pray even for my brother, Melvin Singleton, that, Lord, you know he believes he's saved, and yet there's no fruit in his life. I ask, Father, that you would work in his heart and use this providence that's been in their life now to draw him to Christ. Father, we commit our time to you this morning and ask that you would meet with us. And we ask that you would speak to each of our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.